Hi, you're listening to Branded Search and Beyond with Jason Barnard, the Brand SERP guy and CEO of CaliCube. In each episode, we'll introduce you to experts and thought leaders who will share their insights and strategies to help you build a strong and memorable brand in the digital landscape. If you're worried about the future of SEO strategy because of ChatGPT and Google Gemini, we got you covered. Go to CaliCube.com to find out more about the future-proof digital marketing strategy. Now, buckle up and get ready to learn from industry experts here on Branded Search and Beyond with Jason Barnard.
SEO is AEO. Welcome to the show, Simon Cox.
Well, hello.
Lovely to meet you again.
Yep.
We met last year, probably 6 months ago as well, at Brighton. We keep meeting up at Brighton. Wonderful.
Yep.
One of the loveliest people in Brighton.
Well, that may be stretching it a bit far. Underneath, I'm just all evil. But on the top, yes, I'm nice.
Yep. And my favourite fact about you is you live on a race course, in the middle of a race course.
It is pretty good.
And you have, outside your office window, the race course with the racehorses running past.
Exactly that. The course is about 8 foot away from our balcony, where we sit out and have gins and tonics and watch the horses go by.
And bet on them?
No.
Oh, okay. What I did like about it is you said that the house was there first and they built the race course
they
around
did.
It.
They did. The house has been there since 1820 and the race course was built in 1864. So the house is way, way longer, older
and
than the race course.
You've been there since 1872.
Yeah, about that. We watched them, put the things up and everything. No, we've been there about 7-8 years now.
Oh, okay.
7 years now. So yeah,
it's stuff. And you've bought it.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Cool. That's the coolest house in the world. brilliant stuff. Right. Today, you wanted to have a rant.
Well, no, you said that looks like a rant to me, and I can't disagree.
Ah, okay. So you wanted to talk about bugbears and gremlins. Starting with web standards, why should we respect them when Google doesn't care?
Exactly, and that's the big thing. Part of my life is and has been as a web developer. I did that and I've done that for years and years, and that's where my SEO bits come in. And it's why I do technical SEO, because I do understand how to build websites, and I still build websites, and I enjoy that. But most of what I do now is SEO, technical SEO. My big thing, though, about that is web standards. Web standards have always been important to me because we've driven the web hard over the last 10 years with web standards and using web standards. But the big bugbear for me has been that Google doesn't respect somebody building a website to web standards. And we know this. They've said it quite a few times.
But in what way don't they respect them?
So we have... you can validate your HTML to W3C standards, mm-hmm. And craft and create your HTML to that. But Google does not validate it. It's quite happy. Google's quite happy to actually. Oh, they need to. They need to be able to search sites with bad code because it's still content and it's still
yeah,
out there.
Like mine, for example.
Probably
rubbish
yes.
code.
yeah, there are more valid invalid sites on the web. Probably, I haven't counted them all, then there are valid ones. It's actually getting it close is easy. Getting it to that 100% is...
But most people don't even bother trying to get it close. I mean,
they
most
don't.
Sites just simply don't validate. I mean, I would argue 98% of sites on the web do not validate.
Oh, but probably more.
99.9.
And there's good reason for that. And the reason is, why? Why do it? Why spend resource and money doing that?
Go on then. Why? Sorry.
That's exactly the argument. The argument goes, if you've got a business and they go, right, we'll spend X amount of money or resource building this website, and the developer goes, we should build to web standards, and somebody's going to say, what extra hours we're doing and costs, what's that going to give us? Nothing.
I was going to say that. I've never bothered, to be honest.
No, and people
which is
don't.
Rubbish of me, I know.
And Google's... doesn't the fact that it doesn't validate or doesn't reward good, well-built websites means that business people aren't bothered. We don't care if it's validated or not. And browsers are very forgiving. They have to be, because people can't write good HTML.
I hear you.
So,
is that Google's role? Is it Google's role to force people?
Well, what's happening is...
they're trying to make money.
Oh, they are, yes, and they're trying to deliver...
doing a very good job of
they're
making
trying
money,
to, yes, indeed, and they're trying to deliver answers to our questions.
Yeah.
That's the whole raison d'etre.
French.
Indeed, yes. Like cul-de-sac is another word we've nicked. They're doing that. I've completely lost my thread now.
Oh, sorry, they're not rewarding us. And I said, is it their role? And you said...
They're making money.
So you're saying, why should they reward us?
Right, so they crawl sites, they don't care if it's valid or not because they're still delivering the answers that people are, the questions that people are asking. So from their point of view, they're very happy to deliver results to you from sites that don't validate.
Yep.
There is another side to this. That's the poor developer who comes along and picking up a site off someone else, who has to then trawl through that code. And that's the unseen, unfortunate side of it. The business people say, well, don't bother standardising the code because the browsers are happy with it, Google's happy with it, we're getting the money. And the poor old developer, the second one that comes along, is like, this code is awful, I don't understand how it works, I'm going to have to spend 2-3 times as long to understand it and rewrite it because you want a new design or whatever.
Yeah, okay.
So,
very good point.
As a human race, we're throwing huge amounts of effort away simply by redoing stuff. And we are rebuilding websites with new designs, changing the designs. And they're just throwing the whole lot away, which is not great. And just building a new one. When was the last time anybody kept the same underlying HTML framework and just added new CSS and images on to give it a refresh? That doesn't happen. People just throw the whole lot away and start again.
I was about to say last week, but obviously not the right answer.
Generally.
No, but 100%. Yeah. I've got clients and they're having their site rebuilt by yet another developer who says, I can't build on this, I'm starting from scratch. And he doesn't do it to standards either.
Exactly.
So they just go back into the same problem. And you're saying if it's built to standards, we wouldn't have that problem and they would
It would save money. We know that it's very easy to validate HTML. It's probably one of the easiest things there's ever been because W3C have had a validator for donkey's years. And it's there. Google could validate HTML, and maybe what they should be doing is rewarding well-built sites. Just as this is a well-built site, and that isn't, therefore, that ranks the other one doesn't, because they still need to crawl the ones that don't validate. But maybe the ones that do validate, they're good quality websites, and maybe they should be just given a little extra push.
But maybe they are. I mean, we don't know that. I mean, the idea of crawling the web, pulling unstructured data and structuring it relies on the fact that Google can be confident it has understood what role the content plays in the page. So, in fact, I would argue maybe underneath there is a slight advantage to having validated code because Google can understand it much more easily or can be confident it's understood. Maybe,
but...
Am I naive and...
No, but Matt Cutts and Gary Iles have both said that they don't...
Oh, right, so there you go.
But also
that
Gary Iles...
told me, didn't it? Hey?
Gary Iles has also said very recently that they have a real hard time with badly written JavaScript.
Oh, yeah.
Because they can't crawl it.
Yep.
Now, if they can crawl it, they can actually pull the content out, etc. So badly written JavaScript is one thing, but badly written JavaScript doesn't work. That's the problem. Badly written HTML does work because the browsers are very forgiving.
Yeah, brilliant. No, in fact, I've got a new client who says he's got a problem of Google crawling and he doesn't understand it and he's using Angular. And so you've just given me the first thing to look at. And can you give me the name of a tool I can use to check their JavaScript and see if it's bad or not?
Any good web developer.
That's not me then, is it?
And things like Lint. So there'll be tools that you can do. I'll tell you afterwards. I can't give you one now.
Okay, tell me afterwards. Sorry, I'll put you on the spot.
No, you did completely. Because I don't normally check JavaScript.
All right. Well,
that's one thing I don't do.
It was a personal question for a specific client that I just put you on the spot for. Right, next question was, UK searches get US results which block EU visitors.
Right.
Don't know what you're talking about.
I've moaned about this before. this came out of I heard a piece on Radio 2 about a large flag. Last year.
A large flag?
Yes, a large flag. So I just immediately Googled, what's the world's largest flag? And as you do, because I want to know. I want to know. So immediate gratification, get the answer, go to Google, what's the world's largest flag? A feature snippet came up with a link to a website in California, as I found out subsequently, called Road Journeys USA or something like that. Click through, got a 403 error. In that 403 error, it said, it mentioned something along the lines of...
Go away, smelly European.
Yes, basically. it's on Amazon Cloud, and people from my country weren't allowed to see it.
Okay, right, yeah.
So then I went...
Because of the GDPR problems.
Well, that's what I thought it might be. I thought it might be something else. So I then VPN'd into America, had a look there, perfect. And I did it for a few other countries. Yes, sure enough, they're blocking Europe. And then I started to remember that there was actually happening quite a lot, and it's happening more and more. And it's kind of started first with, that I saw, with American magazines and newspapers sites. I'd see a link on Twitter. Yeah, one of our friends, SEO friends in the States would post something up, and I'd click through. Boom, blocked. You're in Europe, can't look.
And the idea there for is saving money or GDPR?
Well, that's both, actually. So I think what's happened is the lawyers of these big companies have gone, ooh, litigation. I can't do that. Right. Best thing, quickest thing to do is not let people from Europe look at this content, which is really meant for American people anyway. And that happened. It sort of spread very, very quickly to the small American local city and town news magazines and papers. They started doing it as well. They said, all the big ones are doing it, we'll do it as well. Suddenly you get this blanket thing. Other sites start copying it. What's the easiest thing to do? Just block Europe.
Okay, and
everybody's happy. Well, it annoys me.
That doesn't... Google show it, not that they're doing it.
Yes, the fact that I'm on google.co.uk, go and put in the world's largest flag, and I get a feature snippet to a site that I can't see.
Good point, yeah.
So the experience of me is terrible. I don't get the answer I want.
No.
And Google's delivered what it's said it's going to do. Well, here's the best answer. Yeah, but it's... Yeah, and it's in English. But... I can't go and read it. So that is a real bugbear of mine.
Yep, okay.
And I'm pretty sure I've seen other tweets by people that it happens in other English-speaking countries, such as Australia, New Zealand, Canada, etc., where exactly the same thing happens. And I haven't tested this out, but I'm wondering if similar things happen in, say, for example, Portugal, looking at Brazilian Portuguese content as well.
Yeah.
Where it seems to me... Going further from that, going back to what I was saying about language as well, is that more and more I'm seeing American results coming in for UK searches on google.co.uk, and I put something in. There was a spate a few months ago where you'd put in a word like Buccaneers. Of course, I was looking up for pirates and what have you.
Yeah.
As you do.
Johnny Depp.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Okay.
The whole lot. It's all about American football.
It's all terribly American, right?
Yeah. And I was like, that's nothing to do with me.
And so kind of they're getting your context completely wrong. I mean, they're saying he's in the UK.
Exactly.
Obviously, he is less likely to be interested in that.
Yeah.
Brilliant stuff. And Tampa Bay Buccaneers aren't your favourite team.
Well, I don't know.
I don't even know what they play. What do they play? Football?
Yeah, some sort of wrong football.
Wrong football.
It's wrong football. Football with rugby balls. I don't understand it, personally.
Yeah. Bad rugby, I was going to say.
Yes.
That. Great. Now you're saying the homepage de-indexing issue, what you're saying...
Well, that's just another example of what's going on. And this is all part and parcel of it, from what I was saying about not verifying HTML and getting US results for UK searches, etc. What we saw last week, it's taken 6 days to sort out this disappearing homepage from the indexes.
Yeah.
Why did that happen? Google probably won't ever tell us, but...
They also said it was sorted out straight away.
Yeah, they
obviously
did,
wasn't. And they're not going to say, well, actually, we're having loads of trouble with this, and it's going to take us...
And the immediate thing was, I'll just go into Search Console and re-index your URL, because it was just the homepage. So I went through my ones, and I found a couple that exactly that happened. And I'm thinking, well, there must be millions of sites that this happened to, if a couple of my small sites have done that. But that's serious money to a lot of people.
Yeah.
Especially when it's 6 days doing it. And I think they're losing a little bit of control of what's going on because they're putting this AI stuff at the back end.
That is the big fear and the big danger is let the machine loose. You lose control. When it goes wrong, you don't know what's going on.
Yeah. And I think we're going to see a lot more of this sort of stuff until it matures enough to they'll have to put the little rules of thumb in. Don't do this. Don't de-index the homepage because, you know, something popped off over there.
Yeah, so it's going to be kind of sticking plaster on the AI. Oh, I like that idea. Sticking plaster on AI. That sounds Both so advanced and so backwards at the same time.
I think it's, we probably think Google's huge and everything's perfect inside and it's all very sleek and everything, but it probably is like most big corporates, bits of string and sticky tape.
Yeah, and they were probably running around in a complete panic. Yes. on when that happened.
And with probably
that's kind of a nice image that's just formed in my head.
Probably very few people with any idea what's actually happened.
Yeah.
If one or two engineers, somebody's probably done some one little thing and they've spent 6 days hunting it down.
Yeah. That's like Homer Simpson in the nuclear reactor thing sitting on his chair. Yeah, brilliant stuff. So Homer Simpson works for Google.
Probably.
Structured data tools are not consistent. What do you mean by that?
Yeah,
have a rant.
Another little gremlin.
I'm sorry, it's a gremlin.
It's bugbear, but it's also gremlin. It's going on. The whole thing mixes together with all D&D monsters going on here.
Yeah.
So we've had the structured data. It's great. It's more people using it. It can be quite difficult to actually write it. It's JavaScript, after all, and JavaScript's obviously evil. But you can write it. You can validate it in the structured data testing tool, which is very good, and you can plug it in there. And just recently, they've started adding structured data pieces into new Google Search Console. Mm. But you can write some perfectly good, what seems to be perfectly good, JSON-LD, stick it into your site, it validates lovely, go to Google Search Console, oh no, you've got errors.
Yeah.
And what we're seeing is different standards on those two tools.
Yeah.
Screaming Frog have now brought out an absolutely brilliant little testing bit in their tool very recently, and you can crawl that. And I've had chat a few...
Hang on, what did they do with Screaming Frog? Because I've got it and I haven't...
Right, I can't remember what the 11.3 I think it is. There is structured data testing here. So you enter the config spider, and then the advanced bits, there's structured data. You can tick the boxes, and they'll go and validate it for you.
Ooh, that's very exciting. Can we stop now? And I'm going to have a play with that.
It's great. And it means you can do a whole site and just have a list there and stuff you need to go and sort out.
Oh, you've just saved my life.
It's brilliant.
Brilliant. Now I've got another client. Sorry, I've got hundreds of clients. I've got too many clients, but I actually need to do this. And you've just saved me probably 3 hours of my very precious time. I'm just going to set Screaming Frog on it. I'm going to set the dog on it. I'm going to set Screaming Frog on it.
Brilliant. So, what I did notice was there were some issues with that, and I bung some notes back onto the Screaming Frog support, who were brilliant and always come back to me.
You love support, don't you? You were talking about Hover.com support. You were saying how brilliant they were.
They are very good.
Tell me one client support company thing that you have a rant about. Who do you hate? Amazon?
Well, any British... No, Amazon's fine, actually. Oh. Any British supplier of things, so like...
British supplier of things, that's a really bad way of looking at it.
Well, because I don't think of the word. So, electricity, gas, telephone, terrible.
Yeah. No, 100%. Same in France. Don't worry about it.
Absolutely terrible.
Well, don't worry about it.
Ben Hover, if you want to transfer something out of your domain out of GoDaddy to Hover, I've had a three-way phone call, very nice, with a lady in Canada and the GoDaddy team. They just bought, she'd ring them up, and 5 minutes later... domains transferred. Brilliant. Free.
No, I use Hover as well, and I've had a great experience with their...
Just been brilliant for years.
What were we talking about?
I have no idea.
We were talking about structured data tools not being...
Oh, yes, that's right, yes. So, within Screaming Frog, I was picking up these, getting these issues on the site, and chucked it off to the Screaming Frog team to support, to have a look at, and they came back and said, actually, Screaming Frog is using the schema.org specifications to validate what we're doing, but Google isn't. Even though Google are a big part behind the schema, Google is, but Google isn't. Structured testing tool does, but GSE doesn't. So they've had to tweak Screaming Frog to give you the answers that you need to get things working right in GSE. Now, I might be slightly wrong on that, but I'm sure, because you're going to interview Pat at some point, I believe, might put us right on that.
I'm going to have who, sorry?
Pat Landridge.
Patrick. Yeah, Patrick Landridge. He was supposed to do SEO camp, but he had to run off and get his train because of the Eurostar strikey thing going on, which was a real pity, but I'll catch up with him later on.
Yeah, that'd be good, because I think that's a really good and innovative use of a crawler.
It's brilliant.
I imagine the others will follow. Site bulbs and deep crawls will probably follow fairly quickly.
I like the guys from that. I can't remember his name off the top of my head.
Patrick and Gavin,
brilliant stuff. Yeah. I love them. I love everybody. I'm a big fluffy bear who loves everybody. Actually, you look more like a fluffy bear than I do.
I do a little bit, yes.
The new before and after search commands, taken several years to implement, shows how corporate and slow Google really is. That's interesting.
Oh, it is. And reading about this the last few days, they're great, great little tools. I quite often use the parameters within Google to limit my searches down for the last year. Mm. You've got a month or a year. Like 6 months, I was like, well, can't we have 6 months? I just want, it's quite often looking for stuff which is new, not several years old. Yeah. In SEO, that's obvious because stuff changes so quickly. But now we can have a before and after parameter in our search, which is great. But then I was reading about the implementation of it. It's taken them several years to implement this. They had the idea years ago. But so that's internal resources, probably internal politics within Google.
We don't really think about that. I mean, when I was talking to Gennaro Cofano about the Google business model, my kind of view is terribly naive. Like, I think that there's big money-making machine who never make mistakes. And he showed me the Google graveyard.
That's fantastic.
And all the things that they've chucked away and all the things that have failed. And this is another one. It's actually an enormous corporation who... Yeah. Can't move forward
it's
as quickly as
it's obviously been there on the tables for a long time. It'd be really useful for users. Obviously, a bit of implementation time, and they've got to test it and what have you. But obviously, other things have taken precedence. Hmm. But we got it. And really, for me,
like the new
Google
AdWords interface, which is
Discovery,
which
I've not really had a look at yet because I'm away without my laptop.
Google Ads console.
No, sorry, I was thinking of Discovery. Google Discovery, they announced this morning, or last night. Okay. See, that's even beating you.
Oh, yeah, we were talking about that on Twitter, and you were saying that the data is really out of date.
No, it wasn't me, and it wasn't that.
Oh, right. Yeah, all right, that'll teach me to open my life about something I can't actually remember properly. All right, so Google is this enormous kind of multinational machine that can't move forward as fast as we think it can.
And I think that's what we've got to understand, is that they're... like any big company, there's going to be politics in there, there's going to be people vying for the top spaces and little internal wars, which we hopefully never get to see, but it isn't a well-oiled machine. I think from everything that I've been talking about today, it's brilliant because it provides us with a job and things to do, but on the other hand, it's not perfect. And whilst everybody can have a moan at it, they're doing a great job, but we're here to tell them the bits that they're not doing great. And especially from the SEO and AEO point of view, when things are going wrong, the public's not going to tell them. It's us that's going to tell them. So it's good that, you know, we've got John coming over. John moved for the to talk at the end of Brighton SEO tomorrow.
Yeah, he said he might appear on the podcast.
Oh, that'll be good.
Thanks to James Brockbank.
Well, there's a few questions for him. Well, actually, John's answered some of these.
Nice chat.
One of the let me go back to the world's biggest flag thing. All the crawlers come out of America.
Yeah, they don't know.
It's going to be difficult for them to put crawlers in every country. Mm. I'm thinking, why? VPNs aren't that expensive.
No.
But it comes back to this.
All the tools like SearchMetrics and SEMrush, they use them.
Exactly.
And they're catching you out.
Exactly.
Or you're letting them catch you out.
Exactly.
So you do know how it works.
But I think, again, this comes to internal politics. They probably thought about this 5 years ago, but haven't got around to doing it yet.
All right. Okay. Brilliant stuff.
So, and then the other point about that was as well, they, for years, have been saying, this is the best thing to do. As a webmaster, go off and do these things. And people start to do those things. 2 years they go. 2 years later, they sit there and go, well, actually, Google haven't implemented any of these. I've done all this stuff and nothing's happened. But actually, it does come through eventually.
So you just got to be really patient.
You do. And when they tell you they're going to do something, they normally do it. Okay. But it may be years later that it actually happens.
Yeah.
But some of the sites I've worked on get worked on every 5-6 years, not every week.
Yeah.
In that case... that's a good move to actually do that.
So are you saying implement now what they're saying is going to happen in the future, but just don't expect any payback for 4 or 5 years?
Possibly. But what the alternative is, yes, do what works well for your thing. If you've got a site which really needs to really play Google to make the money, you don't take any notice of that. You just do what's right for the company, etc. And you're not going to wait 5 or 6 years. But you've got to spend a lot of time and resource on developers and SEOs to make that work, which is going to be perfect for some situations, but for others it's not. It's a bad thing to do because 5-6 years later down the line, you've got a little site which falls over because it hasn't followed best practice, and therefore they suddenly say, oh, help.
Yeah, sure.
Or they could have avoided that by just getting things right in the first place.
No, 100%.
Which all comes back to web standards.
Oh, and that brings us right back to the beginning, which is web standards.
Yeah.
Please follow them because it makes our life easier. It makes Google's life easier. Thank you very much, Simon. That was a brilliant bringing it back around to the beginning. SEO is AEO. Thank you, Simon.
Thank you, Jason.